You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Good Monday morning to you. Mike McNamara in for a Monday edition of All Marine Radio here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you had a good weekend. I worked all weekend. Yeah. Woke up this morning at about 1:30. Got up, went to work. Yeah, but it's pretty exciting, to be honest with you. On Wednesday, tomorrow, I fly back to Washington, D.C., drive down to Quantico, and then on Wednesday, get a chance to brief the General Officer Symposium that's going on in Quantico this week. So, pretty exciting. Post-traumatic winning. Kaboom. So, trying to make sure that you only get one chance at things. Don't screw them up there, boys and girls. So, you know, people can make whatever decision they want, but don't screw it up. So, try not to do that. Anyway, hope you're having a good day. And hope you had a good weekend. It was beautiful out here. The whole weekend was. Temperature in the mid to upper 70s. Yeah, hadn't been like that for a while. So, got a chance to get outside a bit. Sun, fresh air, nice. Yeah, we've had rain like forever, it seems like, out here. So, no drought talk right now in California. So, it's all good. What else is going on? Went and watched my son play hockey last night. Patrick. What's Patrick? 29 years old. Yeah, he plays in this men's league. And Disney just opened up a rink in Orange County it's right in the middle of Orange County. Like, there's rinks at the north end, there's the rinks at the south end. This one's right in the middle. It's got 4 sheets of ice. Yeah, I guess the Ducks are going to practice there. And, so I went to watch. You know, it is, my kids were kind of like raised playing hockey. I really liked the sport, and they got into it, and they liked it. And so we would go whoop it on. And, you know, it's what we've done the most, the longest. And so it's funny, I don't know, a couple of years ago we all went to a hockey game. John and Patrick and I. And, you know, it was fun. You know, you're with your sons, and you're doing something you've done forever, which is go to a rink and watch hockey. And so it was fun. So going and watching him, I took some work with me and went and watched a men's league game. But hockey, you know, hockey's fun. I don't care what age you are, even when you get old like me. I wish, you know, if I can find a league, I'd play in it. I was actually talking to one of the guys that runs the rink, and he said, man, we started and we thought we'd be, you know, we'd have half the teams we wanted, and we have twice as number. We thought, I can't remember what the number said, we have twice as many as we thought we'd get when we started. Yeah, he said, wow, it's pretty amazing. So, and then we have a waiting list now of all these guys who want to play, but they're not on teams. So we're going to have tryouts, and we're going to have some kind of placing system and create more teams or whatnot. So, so anyway, but it was fun, you know. It was fun. I went and got something. A couple of epiphanies. You know, in looking at how to present post-traumatic winning, I listened to a couple of interviews over the weekend, and one is Jeremiah Workman. Now, Jeremiah Workman comes back, and he has trouble. And I'm going to play you that this morning. So I think it's about 37 minutes long, if I'm not mistaken. I know I know things like that. So he comes back, and then he goes into, and I'm not bad mouthing the mental health system, right? I'm not bad mouthing the mental health system. But I will say this, as you study things, right? Where in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam did we treat quote unquote battle fatigue? There was no PTSD diagnosis. So where do we treat battle fatigue? Well, we treated it in the frontline companies. Those guys who were quote unquote shell shocked or battle fatigued or whatever you called it. They went back for a couple of days, and they worked in the company CP doing other things. And then after a couple of days, where did they go? They went back to their unit. But they always stayed, you know, among the people that loved them the most and knew them the best, who took care of them, and then they were put back. It's really interesting. And maybe I'll play that clip here. It's about community mental health. And it's a couple of guys from India that are PhDs. One's doing work in Southwest Texas, and the other one is writing. And what the little audio clip you'll hear is about them talking about community mental health. And they talk about, in a study they've done on 44,000 people, right? Only 1% of the people, 1% of the people diagnosed with depression needed to see a psychiatrist. It's pretty astounding, isn't it? So I'll play that for you here in a little bit. But let me go back to Jeremiah Workman. So he comes back, and right, he starts taking medication. He's drinking. And he's struggling, and he gets sent to Wounded Warrior Battalion in Quantico, so he's up there, and he's struggling. You know what makes a difference in his life? The Marine Corps screws this up so bad, but, I mean, almost, if you look at him, the Marine Corps could not have done a worse job with him, right? So he's struggling survivor's guilt, I would call it leader's remorse, not survivor's guilt. And leader's remorse to me is, you know, he did the best he could. The enemy had a boat. He loses three guys and he blames himself. So he's struggling. So what do? We send him to Paris Island. So just in another pressure cooker. So he gets sent there and he gets relieved. And the week after he gets relieved, he is awarded his Navy Cross. And you'll hear him talk about it, but when I play that audio. But he says, and all those scabs and scars are just ripped open brand new again. And you can hear the pain in his voice. And so so he's relieved there, and he's sent to Wounded Warrior Battalion Quantico. So now when he's there, like, what are we going to do with him? Well, let's have him work at the museum. Right? He can get in his Charlies, he can wear his Navy Cross, he can talk to people. Somebody thinks that's a great idea. So he's there and he hates it. And he's going home at night and drinking. And so General Milstead, Boomer Milstead, is at the museum after it opened, and he sees Workman and he sees the Navy Cross. And he says, "You're Jeremiah Workman." And he says, "Yes, sir." And Milstead tells the story in his interview that, I think he tells it in the story, that he says, "What are you doing here?" to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah says, "Sir, I'm guarding this dog." I guess there's this fake military working dog there. And General Milstead says, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, people pet this dog, the hair falls out, so I'm guarding the dog." Milstead's like, "You're kidding me." And then Jeremiah thinks, says, "Well, kinda." And so they talk. So Milstead goes into work, right? And he's, I can't remember, I think he's Lieutenant General at the time. He might be Manpower or Reserve Affairs. So he sticks his head in the Commandant's office, and, you know, he says, "Hey, there's a guy down at the museum. We got to get out of there, man. He's dying down there." And, "Well, who is it?" "Well, it's Jeremiah Workman." "Oh, shit." So, ultimately, Sergeant Major Kent gets wind of it, and he makes Jeremiah his driver. And who do you think Jeremiah credits with saving his life? A guy who's like a second father to him, and that is Jeremiah Workman. So, I'm not bad-mouthing the mental health system, but if you take this audio clip and you give it some thought, if that's true, that only that small percentage of the population actually needs psychiatric care. And now we're talking about depression, but let's just say it's applicable to anxiety and dealing with trauma. Okay, let's just say that's the percentage. And I don't even care, you could bump it up to 10%. I don't care. Okay, what that means is 90% of the people ought to be able to be treated, right, by, like, their local pediatrician, you know, and for trauma in military units, their leaders ought to be able to get involved and sit down with them and help them sort this out. I spent a little bit of time reading about that, and I think it's really interesting, you know. And again, what's happened in the military is the military has ceded, quote unquote, mental health to the mental health professionals. And the people of the unit have largely backed away. And you say, "Oh, I've got issues." Like, okay, you got to go to mental health. Well, I think, and the cool part of post-traumatic winning is post-traumatic winning says, no. You know, the people that can help him most are the people that love him the most and know him the best. Right? Those are the people that love him the most. And as you go through that, you're triaging, and if he does or she does have serious psychological issues, then you certainly aren't afraid to refer him. So I was doing that, but Jeremiah Workman's story is classic in that it what he needed somebody to love him. He needed a leader in his life. So yeah, just kind of interesting when you begin to kind of tie some of this stuff together and you look for real world examples, and you're finding not one, but you're finding a bunch of them. So you'll hear Jeremiah Workman. I want to say it's, how many minutes is it? What? 37 minutes and 4 seconds. Okay, so we're going to hear that at about, let's see, top of the hour, bottom of the hour. So you'll hear that at about 7:55, 7:50-ish. Then that'll take us down towards bottom of the hour. We'll take a break. And then Bob Nielsen is going to join us. Bob has done something very interesting. He's got a group together of people. He's got a group of people together, and they are talking about Vietnam. Yeah, how about that? They're talking about Vietnam. And so I wanted him to come on and talk about that. One of the other interviews I was listening to yesterday was an interview with Jack Riley, right? Squad leader in Vietnam, blah blah blah, and he says some pretty cool stuff. He talks about the reason he knew that reunions were so good wasn't because of what the Marines said. Who went to him? It was because of what their wives said. That's right. Their wives said, "You don't know what you've done." Sounds like Libby. What Libby said to me. But yeah, they're Stoics. They're faking it, right? But their wives know the truth. You don't know what you did for that boy. He's been wrestling with this shit forever, and coming here has helped him let go of it and talk. And he found out everybody wrestling with the same stuff, and he's so happy. So he has so many cool things to say in that interview, and it's the one where I do like Oprah after the show. Yeah, that one where we just talk about, like, I have a bunch of questions about the fight that after we did the initial battlefield study thing and of Getland's Corner that we did with Jack, one second. So, yeah, we do the battlefield study, and then the battlefield study is, like, in my head for a while. And then I thought, you know, I need to have him back on. I mean, like, I hope he doesn't get mad at me, like, not you again, McNamara. Because I said, I want you to come on, and I have, like, a bunch of questions that, you know, a few that people emailed me and said, hey, if you have him on again, could you ask him about this? And the biggest question I had for Jack was, they fought for 6 hours and didn't get a whole lot of fire support. Right? The FO, General Neal, was a lieutenant. He was with 1st Platoon, I want to say. But they were fighting a click away trying to get back to the company. And once they got back, then it happened. But how did that happen? Right? How did they fight? And I say that from the perspective of the interviewer, and I tell him this so he doesn't think I'm being a jackass. Right? I say it from the perspective of, hey, I ask you because I've done this. And you know, like, when you send somebody in harm's way, you know that, right? You know they're going in harm's way. There's no doubt in your mind. And your job is to watch their radio nets, to listen to the radio nets, to watch what they're doing and have things ready to shoot if you're going to send them into bad guy country. Right? That's how you do it. And then if somebody burps, somebody's getting shot. Like, what was that? Oh, I don't know. I think somebody burped. Well, somebody just got shot. Oops. I hate when that happens. Yeah, exactly. So that's your job, right? And so they sent his company, India Company 39, out there, and they said, okay, we want three separate platoon ambushes and don't dig in. Okay, got it. That's kind of stupid. Yeah. We know that. We know what we're asking of you. And because we know that, we're going to have shit right on top of you. And if they even start nosing around, we're going to blow the shit out of them. All right, got it. And then you got to do it. They didn't do that. So I thought about it, and then I had him back on, and we have a conversation about that. So it's real interesting. And in the midst of all that, listening to that, you know, he talks about reunions, and you know, this is why Jack Riley to me is like 2018 post traumatic winner of the year. PTW, right? PTW man of the year, right? He was getting phone books, right? National phone directories on floppy disks in the 80s and scouring them looking for their Marines because he felt that was his responsibility. Come on, man. How cool is that guy? And again, this is in spite of being told, right, that, oh, yeah, you got Agent Orange. Oh, you were at Camp Lejeune, too? Yeah, you're in that water database, too. Have you heard about that? And again, his wife had three babies, or three miscarriages. Both his sons were born with a form of spina bifida. One actually served in the Marine Corps, 12 years. So it's a great interview. If you've never listened to it, and maybe you'll hear it this week because I've got to fly tomorrow. So you'll hear part live, part not live. Anyway, so good morning to you. You'll hear this part. You'll hear about the 37 minutes of Jeremiah Workman has this piece in it, which might be one of the most, I don't know. I don't even know the right word. One of the most gripping things I've ever heard doing radio. But here's a little clip of it.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
And that didn't happen. And in my mind, I failed. Or we didn't get them fast enough in the house to allow them to escape. And that's just several of us, I think, live with that to this day.
That in spite of what you did, the inability to get them quick enough means that you failed. And that's what leaders live with in combat at the small unit level.
I had spent, it was about a year and a half after we had gotten back home when I received the award.
Right.
So I've been dealing with this.
Notice how he says the award, right? That's how he talks about it.
And trying to control it, and I wasn't doing a very good job of controlling these issues to begin with. And when I got that award, it just opened everything. It was like a brand new wound. And it brought everything to the forefront. And it was like everything just came right back to me. And I was like, you're right. You know, everybody's coming up to you. Hey, congrats. And it's like, oh my God, man. I shouldn't have this. I don't want this. I can't deal with this. I don't need this. I want this three Marines back.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
How about that? Now, if you hear all that anguish in him, what makes it better? What makes it better is becoming the driver. Um, becoming the driver for Sergeant Major Kent. And so even given all that pain, that's where it took him. So it's just interesting as you look at this balance and you begin to look at mental health. So we'll talk about that a little bit. All right, and we'll check news headlines of the day as we get this thing going. So good morning to you. Thanks for listening to All Marine Radio here on a Monday. Awesome week. And so fired up for it. United States Marine Corps Band makes it official on this Monday. Good morning to you. Dedicated to all the people that worked really hard on the contaminated water issue. And there's a mass sergeant retired by the name of Jerry. I think his name's Ensmeyer, who's been on the program before. And they have worked, he lost both his wife and his daughter to the poison that was in the Camp Lejeune water supply. And so we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But it's dedicated to them. The Navy said that there was no legal precedent for the Navy paying any money to anybody for these kind of issues, so that they would not be taking it up. So anyway, this is to those people who suffered incredibly, unknowingly, because people were negligent. And again, the question is, what did they do when they found out and they didn't do the right thing? And that's the worst part of the whole story. So this is dedicated to those families and Marines who served at Camp Lejeune, and who some of them paid with their lives for it. And it's not right. Not right.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think. and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speed. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major, I'm very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Seven 34. We'll check the weather, and we'll check some news headlines. Email. So what do you see as the role of mental health professionals? I see the role of mental health professionals as supporting the leaders of a unit and not a separate line of effort, right? So I see it as kind of a system that triages people and they work through the system. But units should have the tools, and I hope that's what post-traumatic winning is giving them, is, look, you have a set of commandments now, right? And when Josh gets through with them, they have a way to frame their lives. They have a way to set goals in their lives, and so that kind of get control of their life. Right, and so they can do that, and then what's the other thing we always tell them? You got to talk about it. And so to me, if you can do that, the best therapists I've ever had are my friends, if I give them a chance. Right now, in the process of that, you have to look at them and say, does he have deeper issues? And then if they do, then that's where the therapist comes in, right? But I think that leaders can do more historically. Right? That's how we did it. So, anyway, I think it's interesting. I'll play that little I don't know. There's a short clip I think I have of that discussion on mental health, community-based mental health. And what it is, it's so when you go to the doctor, they screen you for symptoms of depression. And then, so normally, you know, people go deal with depression after they've had it for a long time, not at the outset. Well, yeah, now we're going to try to turn that around. So not easy, right? So they're finding it. Look, if you can see these things and that people are struggling, then you talk about diet, exercise, and some of the issues that are plaguing them. And guess what happens? Easy peasy, right? Easy peasy. So I won't say easy, but easier. All right, we'll check the weather right now. It is currently cloudy in 34 in Quantico. It is cloudy in 45 in Camp Lejeune. It is sunny in 49 in Granbury. It is partly sunny in 52 in 29 Palms. Camp Pendleton, clouds in 42 in Okinawa, Japan. It is dark cloudy in 63 in the Al Anbar province of Iraq. It is cloudy, dark in 58, a little bit warmer there. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is clear, dark, and 54. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is partly cloudy and 50 degrees. Looking for a high of 71 today, 69 tomorrow, and on Wednesday, a high of 67 degrees. We'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk you to a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting
go. 7:42 on a Monday. All right, I want to play a little audio for you.
800-630.
That's not it.
Are you still drinking at that point?
At the end of this exercise today, and maybe in the next.
Okay. All right. So, let me get my act together here.
It's really universal screening. If you what traditionally.
All right. So, these are a couple of Indian doctors, right? And they're at UT Southwest, so it's University of Texas Southwest, so in the UT system in Texas. It's a conversation with Dr. Madhukar Trivedi, T-R-I-V-E-D-I, and Dr. Vikram Patel, P-A-T-E-L. Okay, and they're talking about community-based mental health. Okay, it's about 4 minutes long, so I went in. Dr. Madhukar, Dr. Trivedi is his last name. He is the one that's working at UT Southwest. Dr. Patel is a writer and a researcher, and he has a international reputation in the field of community-based mental health. So this is what they say. It's pretty interesting.
So one thing, like, at the end of this exercise today, and maybe in the next 2-3 years, I want all of you to be actually as informed as Julie is about all this. She is absolutely right. So our screening is really universal screening. If you what traditionally happens in primary care is people wait, and the patient either complains or starts crying or is suicidal is when they screen. That is not called screening, because then it's too late. So what this is, we are primary care practices are universally screening. Every patient coming into the clinic gets screened for depression, and that is how you identify whether they need to have further monitoring or not. And that is the 12 to 15% of patients. Once they get screened positive, then they get routine measurement at every treatment occasion to monitor their outcomes. And if the patients have significant need for psychiatry, they are referred, and that has been really less than 1% of the population. Because there is, like hypertension, nobody actually, or headache, imagine if for headache everybody wanted to go to see a neurosurgeon, you couldn't find any. That is what we do with depression. Instead, what we are doing, changing the paradigm so that most patients who can be treated in primary care get treated there, and then those who need to go to psychiatry or psychotherapy, then they go there. And we've also created teletherapy modules and other things to envelop all this. But as a result, we are actually leaving patients in the right place and getting the right treatment without having to run around to find a psychiatrist.
And Dr. Patel, do you find, is that similar to what you were finding in your work, that the majority, if you use the old 80-20 rule, were you finding that most of the people could be cared for, even did they require medication, or what were the kind of results you were seeing in your global environment?
Well, I completely agree with Madhukar. I think essentially the idea of a one-size-fits-all model is the fundamental error in mental health care. I think it's borrowed from the model of infectious diseases.
Right. So maybe I used a bad analogy.
No, it's not a bad analogy, but I think it's the inspiration to medicine came from infectious diseases. Let's be honest. This was the kind of conditions that killed most of us 100 years ago. And we have taken that, as it were, dichotomous approach. Either you have an infection or you don't. And if you have an infection, no matter where you live, who you live with, what your gender is, you would give the same course of treatment. We've taken that very simplistic reductionist approach to infectious diseases and assumed that all chronic conditions, which are the conditions that will kill most of us in this age of our lives, that we think that one-size-fits-all approach applies, and it doesn't. And I think what Madhukar describes is exactly right, that if you say that 15% of the population has depression, it doesn't mean that all 15% actually need the same intervention. It's quite likely that of that 15%, maybe three-quarters or maybe two-thirds could be treated very well through a community or primary care-based approach. And I would extend that to the community, not just primary care, through self-care. Mm-hmm. I think there's a revolution happening out there in terms of peer support and self-care interventions, including through the digital space. A proportion of those individuals might need some kind of care in the primary care facility, which could include antidepressants, but often may just be psychological mm-hmm. treatments. And about a third of people of that 15% might actually need to graduate based on their response or severity to see a specialist. That's the kind of mixed, or what some people call balanced model of care that we should be aspiring to.
Right.
Pretty interesting when they talk about community mental health care and screening for depression as part of primary care and treating it in its early phases. So to me, it's, again, I'm not exactly sure if that's what you thought you'd get when you tuned into All Marine Radio, but I think it's fascinating. It has implications for trauma and how we deal with each other before, as opposed to referring people to mental health right away. So I think it's interesting. You can find that in a much longer version, and don't be afraid to watch the whole hour, but that's on the All Marine Radio. Go to the post-traumatic winning section and look at resources, and you will find that interview down towards the bottom. So I thought I would share that with you. We'll check the news right now. Commandant released his last message to the force and tells the force to continue the attack. This year I call on all of us to continue the attack, advancing on multiple fronts. Right? Fighting in new domains, modernize aging equipment, up our game in training against thinking foes, continue to take the fight to the nation's adversaries, and prepare for the unknowns of the future fight. He also discussed the 50-man rifle squad configuration. I think the whole Marine Corps is going to that as soon as they can swing it. And you need to, because you've got to be able to deal with casualties. The Corps also bringing in the F-35, the new 8-wheeled amphibious vehicle, which is kind of interesting. Marine Corps coming out of the kind of trough that it was in relative to its structure, just all the things that were broken mechanically. And then he also talked about behavior such as drunkenness, sexual assault, sexual harassment, inappropriate conduct on social media, hazing, recklessness, and a general lack of discipline do nothing to help our readiness. His message reads, the relationship between alcohol and destructive behavior cannot be denied or ignored. We have to change our views of alcohol and have adult conversations with our Marines about drinking responsibly. He called on Marines suffering with mental health issues or those contemplating suicide to seek help, speak up, and that the Corps is growing programs to tackle the problem. He says the Marine Corps is there to help. Just ask for it. So, anyway, the Commandant's message. I'll find that and post it and post it. What will the Navy's denial of Camp Lejeune's claim mean for other contaminated bases? And there's a picture of retired Marine Corps Master Sergeant Jerry Insmeyer. On Thursday, Navy Secretary Richard Spencer said that despite the Navy's acknowledgement that there were harmful cleaning solvents and fuels that may have that may have been connected to cancers found in Camp Lejeune personnel from 1953 to 1987, he decided this week to deny the claims of those Lejeune lawsuits. In all, the claims sought $963 billion in damages. Spencer's announcement seems to end the family's quest, at least on military front, to seek damages. Spencer cited three reasons the Navy decided to deny the claims. That recent court decisions found the contamination at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, did not meet the conditions to grant a waiver to allow affected members to sue the government under the Federal Torts Claims Act. That service members themselves could not sue because of the Ferris Doctrine, and that the spouses and the dependents of service members who could have sued the government for their own cancers have likely passed the time frame for which they could have filed the case. The Navy has been considering the Camp Lejeune issue for 20 years. How bullshit is that? And then the article goes on to chronicle some of the issues, at play. Spencer stressed that service members will still have full VA assistance for treatment for Camp Lejeune-related illnesses, but as far as other remedies might be available, particularly for spouses or children of service members who grew up at Lejeune, the Navy Secretary didn't know what they might be able to do besides potentially work with Congress on a solution. So the VA announced that, you know, there was there was money to treat these veterans, but nothing for their families, nothing for their spouses. I mean, this is just a joke. I mean, it's honestly, it's awful. So it's just another step in this lawsuit, and your heart breaks for those people. Your heart breaks for those people. Three civilian workers plead guilty in a $1.5 million razor blade theft ring at Parris Island. We talked about this a few months ago, but it's amazing. The Charleston Post and Courier reported that 35-year-old Orlando Bison, and 27-year-old Tommy Harrison Jr. and 36-year-old Sarah Brutus pleaded guilty Wednesday in U.S. District Court in Charleston to one count of conspiracy to defraud the United States. They say they face up to 5 years in prison and $2,500 in fines when they're sentenced. Both had worked with a Marine Corps non-commissioned officer to sell razors and razor blades to people out of state. The Marine First Sergeant previously stationed at MCR at Parris Island in South Carolina was arraigned on January 3rd, according to Major Roger Hollenbach, a spokesman for MAR-4 Reserves. He's next due in court on February 13th. Stealing razor blades and selling them. Wow. U.S.-Canadian fighters scrambled to escort Russian bombers. You know, just I say this every time. This is a public service. This has been going on for decades, okay? Been going on for decades. Russians fly near our border. We scramble aircraft. Blah, 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 blah. Top five stories in Early Bird. Number one, Trump drops wall funding demand, reaches a deal to end the government shutdown. Yeah, he got rolled on that. You don't see D. Trump get rolled too much, but he got rolled that time. Nancy Pelosi. Now, the question is, what did the Democrats do? Did they do anything about the southern border? So, okay, you won. Congratulations. Email. Hey, Mac, what's the current temperature where the chef lives? It is 1 degree below zero Fahrenheit, which surprises me. I thought it would be much, much colder. Tuesday's low is going to be 23 below. Three above is the high. Wednesday is going to be, the high is going to be 20 degrees below zero. The low is going to be 36 degrees below zero. On Wednesday, the low will be 20. The high will be 20 below. The low will be 35 below. And then it will warm up after Thursday. Yeah, you heard me right. The high is 20 below. The low is 35 below. You know what that is? That's straight up cold, man. That is straight. That is like stuff breaks cold. Like just being out in the cold, it breaks. Yeah, he got rolled on the wall. So film at 11, you know, it's all political based, right? You know, most of those Democrats funded what to spend $25 billion, you know, for whatever reason. I don't know why. I mean, even when the Democrats controlled things, they couldn't get anything done. So I don't know. I don't get it. Right. Seems like you could push to the middle and get something done pretty quick, but that's not to be. Number two, what will the Navy's denial of Camp Lejeune's claims mean for other contaminated bases? Well, it means that same thing will happen to them. I just don't get how you poison people and you're not somehow or other liable for it. It makes absolute, and then you say, you've taken 20 years to adjudicate it, and then you say, yeah, well, you know, they don't have any legal standing because, the statute of limitations has run out. Well, no shit, man. Because you didn't do what you were supposed to do. Third story, Taliban talks. Will negotiations lead to peace in Afghanistan? Article from the BBC. Quote, significant progress is said to have been made during the 6 days of talks between U.S. officials and the Afghan Taliban. Suggests that both sides are serious about trying to find a peaceful solution to a 17-year-old conflict that has scarred Afghanistan. So, again, we will see. We will see. You've seen blurbs coming out of the negotiations, but we will see. And if one of the conditions is, hey, all Americans got to get out, is that really anything? Is that actual like something that we would consider? There's somebody from East Grand Forks, Minnesota. The email's entitled LOL. Want to come visit this week? After your engagement, before you go back to California. You know what? I've done that, all right? I've done that. And it's not like you do it. I mean, what do? You stay inside. Right? And that's when, you know, your automatic car starter, man, you're never so happy in your life that you have that son of a bitch. Exactly. That thing is money. Seriously. You know, and now, I mean, before they used to be, you had to be within like 30 feet. Now you can buy them where you can be like 10 miles away, man. And you can Bluetooth them to your phone. Yeah, you could be wherever and start that machine up. And then by the time you get into it, it's like hot. You come running. So you leave your office. You're like all bundled up, right? You got your hood on. You got your gloves on. You got the whole gambit on. Like you're like little kid bundled up. Shuffle into your car, open that door, hop in, slam the door, and it's hot in there. You're like, yes. And then you drive home. Hopefully you have a garage with an automatic, like, door. So you drive in, you put the door down before you get out of the car, and then you go in the house. That's it. And you might do that during the day if you have to go someplace, right? Hopefully you can park near the door, and then you get in. these things tend not to last very long, right? Several days at the most, but they can be deadly. If your car, you know, goes off the road and you get stuck and something like that, I mean, it'll kill you. So you got to be careful with it. Serious. You know, those safety kits in cars, I mean, they literally save people's lives. Another headline. As West turns to him, Venezuela's Maduro flexes his military muscle. It's almost comedic, right? Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro oversaw a display of the army's Russian hardware on Sunday with anti-aircraft flak and tank rounds pounding a hillside to show the military force and loyalty of the military in face of an international ultimatum for new elections. Yeah, he's like, how does that guy stay in power? With the Russians? And the Russians better be careful. It looks like they show him running someplace. He's like running with the troops. Now he's got some kind of Russian tanker helmet on. And he's got, he's kind of doing the Vladimir Putin thing. Yeah. Go macho. Go macho or go home. Okay. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, you're going to hear Jeremiah Workman. And I listened to this, but it's pretty powerful audio. And to me, you know, what's the thing that helped him? You know, what's the thing that helped him? What helped him was other Marines caring about him and talking to him. And I think, you know, for the vast majority of people, that's what they need, but we're so resistant to talking about it. We don't like to do that, right? We fake mental health. So anyway, we'll listen to some of that as we head to the bottom of the hour. Bob Nielsen is going to join us. Bob put together this group of Vietnam veterans, and they get together and talk. And some of them, first time they've spoken about it in 50 years. So it's pretty interesting. In fact, when you hear the interview I'll play, probably tomorrow for you, that's one of the things that Jack Riley said. He said, I didn't talk about Vietnam at all. At all. And then we went to our first reunion, and I was kind of running it, and I was running around, and my wife was sitting there listening to, you know, to my Marines talk. And she had her jaw on the floor. And I came back, and she said, are you kidding me? You've never spoken about this stuff. And he's like, yeah, I don't talk about it. And she said, oh, we're gonna talk. Anyway, more of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.